It's very exciting to be here with all of you. I'm not sure exactly what this evening is exactly. How do we explain it? Whatever I say. Okay. It's an evening of Ahdut, an evening of getting together for Kiddusha. And Be'ezrat Hashem, evenings like this sometimes can be life changers. You never know in life where you're put in a position and you see this was the point that made a big difference. I flew a long time to get here, so I want to make your time valuable. I'd like to share with you something that I think is a really huge life changer. I hope I can say it right. The pasuk says, "Ve'Avraham zaken ba bayamim." Avraham was a zaken, was an older person. Ba bayamim, I mentioned earlier, means he came every day, was important. And it says, Hashem berach et Avraham bakol. Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. So the word everything sounds like the way it sounds, everything. That means money, yes, everything. Health, everything. Family, children, kol. But there's a famous Rashi that brings Hazal that say that bakol in gematria is 52, which is the same as ben. So when it says Hashem berach et Avraham bakol, the word bakol really is referring to Yitzhak. So the obvious question is, why didn't the pasuk say ben? Ben is also the gematria of ben. Why do you have to write bakol to tell me ben? So the obvious answer is, but it's, even though it's obvious, we always have to remind ourselves that there's nothing more valuable in life than the blessing of a great child. Great children are the biggest nahat, the biggest pleasure that a person can have on this planet and for eternity. My mother is a good example. My mother is 90 years old. She lives in a home by herself. She doesn't go out, doesn't travel, doesn't go out for dinners, doesn't do anything that you would consider exciting. But if you spend 5 minutes with her, you would realize she's one of the happiest people you ever met. And her head is all there. How could someone who never goes out, doesn't travel, doesn't buy new clothing, living by themselves, how could they be so happy? And the answer is that her children and her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, are not just on the walls of her house, but in her heart. Her children are her biggest nahat. Bakol. We spend a lot of time in life investing. We work hard to make money, and we should. We put effort into many things, some important, some less important. But there's nothing that comes close to the investment that we must put into the future of our children. The chinuch of our children is our number one priority. And in order to be successful, a person has to learn, a person has to read, a person needs advice from people who failed and people who succeeded. Unfortunately, many people have a child for the first time. Not many, most people. How many people who have a child for the first time run to get advice? Answer is almost none. Because we live life with expectation of good. We expect things to go good. How many people getting married are running to get advice about having a great marriage? Answer is almost none. Sometimes we force them to take classes. Because we live life with expectation that things will be good. Why shouldn't they be good? If I'm getting married to somebody, obviously it's going to be Gan Eden. It's obvious. What's the question? Why else am I getting married? There's no need to go ask, to go learn, to go understand. What a foolish attitude. Everybody who ever got married in life was going in his mind into Gan Eden. But unfortunately, the reality isn't like that. Because expectations means that I'm waiting for things to happen. We love to live life that way. I expect good things to happen in my marriage. Why shouldn't it? So let me wait and see. When I have this beautiful little child, I say, of course, he's going to bring me so much nahat. He's going to be so successful, this boy. This girl is going to be awesome. They're going to be happy. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be responsible. Why not? I expect. These expectations are part of the Yetzirah. In life, we never expect good. We have to make good. We have to make our marriage good. Marriage isn't by nature good. Nature actually says that marriage should be Gehinam, not Gan Eden. That's the real honest truth. Because very different people with different mindsets. Of course, with the right advice and the right wisdom, the right chokhmah, it's Gan Eden. Ke Gan Eden Mikedem. But don't expect it to be that way. Expectations don't bring success in life. Making things happen, raising your child with wisdom, with chokhmah, knowing what to say, what not to say, knowing when to push, when to pull back, and so much more. The greatest blessing in our lives is our children, and of course our marriages, which have very much to do with our children. So Abraham got blessed bakol. The Torah is trying to tell us, this is it. All the other blessings are nice, but this is real. Invest your time into it. That's the message of the Torah. Torah is not just telling us about the greatness of Avraham Avinu. It's trying to describe to us what we should strive for. We should have books in our homes. We should have discussions. We should be learning. That we should also produce bakol. We see by Yitzhak, by Yaakov Avinu. It says, we're going to learn in a few weeks, that Yaakov blessed. It says, Vaybarech et Yosef. He blessed Yosef. And if you look in that pasuk and you see the beracha was not to Yosef, it was to his children. So the obvious question is, Why does it say he blessed Yosef when he's really blessing his children? Say he blessed Yosef's children. And the answer is there's no bigger bracha to Yosef than a bracha to his children. There's no greater success in life than my son and my daughter. First, we have to be zocheh that we have a son and daughter. That's Hashem. That's His hand. But if we have the zechut to have children, we have to know that is our greatest investment. But that's not what I came to talk to you about today. That was an introduction. Is there a time limit on this? Oh, there is? A time limit? What time? How long? Oh, there's no time limit. No time limit. Keep going. There's a Hatam Sofer that needs a lot of explanation. The Hatam Sofer says that the word Bakol, we said Bakol, Bet, is 2. Chaf, 20. Lamed, 30. 52. Ben, 52. Says the Hatam Sofer, but if you write the letters and then count them, for example, Bet is Bet, Yud, Tav. How much is that? 412. Okay, hold that. Wait. Chaf. 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 Pe is 100. So how much are we up to? 512. And then we have Lamed. Lamed is 74 plus 5, 12. 74, 5, 12. 5? 586. Says the Hatam Sofer. Bakol, if you do it in the full gematria, is 586. Which equals the word shofar. Shofar. Shin, 300, Vav, 6, Peresh, 586. Says the Hatam Sofer, what shofar? What does shofar have to do with Bakol? He says, the shofar of Matan Torah that came from the Isle of Yitzhak, when Yitzhak was about to be sacrificed, instead they took an isle, they took a ram, one shofar for Matan Torah. When Hashem gave us the Torah, He blew the shofar. And the shofar that will come with Mashiach le'atid lavo. This is the Hatam Sofer. I'd like to spend a few minutes with you to explain this Hatam Sofer, because I believe your life will never be the same again. Hashem has a system of how He runs this world. Everything is a system. Everything, there's rules. As you see, the sun comes out, the moon, everything is a system. In the physical world and the spiritual world, there's a system. There's cause and effect. You do A, you get B. I'd like to tell you tonight about one of the most powerful principles in this world. In order to explain it, I'm going to bring a story that you all know. The story of Avraham Avinu. When he was in pain after surgery, an old man, Hashem decided it's good for him to take off a day from his Hesed empire. And he made it very hot, as we read a few weeks ago. This way nobody would come. But Avraham Avinu was actually in more pain for not helping people than he was from his surgery. He's waiting for people. So seeing his desire for guests, Hashem sent him 3 guests. Angels that look like people. Hazal say, why 3? If you have 1 guest, it's also Hachnasat Orhim. You don't need 3. So Hazal say, no, because each one came for a different purpose. One of them came to heal Avraham Avinu. After all, he's an old man with surgery. He came to heal him. Refuah Shlema. One angel came to give Sarah, Imenu, and Avraham the news they're going to have a baby. A baby boy. And the third one came to destroy Sodom. We'll leave that for a different time. And the obvious question is, why does he have to send 3 angels? Why can't he just send 1 and he could do all of them? So Hazal tell us, because a malach, an angel, is defined by his mission. Not like us, we have many things to do. An angel is his mission. So he only has 1 mission, focused on his mission. So an angel can't do 2 things. So again, 3 angels, 3 jobs. But there's an obvious question on this story. Didn't they come to visit Avraham Avinu? Or didn't they come to be guests so he could do the mitzvah as he did? Isn't that also a mission? Why is that not counted as 2 missions? Again, Hashem sent him 3 guests. But each one had a mission. So being a guest would be a second mission. I thought angels don't do that. What does the malach that's coming to heal him, why does he have to be the guest of Avraham Avinu? What does that have to do with anything? Hashem could have sent him a guest and sent him angels to give him good news or to heal him. Why is it that the angels that came are also the guests? I feel it's a very, very big question, a very strong question. I'd like to share with you a very simple thought. It's simple, but very, very, very relevant. If we just study the story, we probably would understand the answer to this question. Let's think for a second. What would happen if Avraham Avinu saw the 3 Arabs walking and it was hot and he was in pain? Have you ever had that in your life? Someone needs you and you're tired, you don't want to come. Someone asks you for money, you're not so in the mood to give. How many times in your life has somebody asked you for something and you're not in the mood? You're not in the mood to open your home for some important function. Somebody comes and needs your help financially. You don't want to give. Happens to us every day. Happens all the time. Sometimes more difficult than other times. So let's think. Avraham Avinu is sitting by his door And he sees three Arabs. By the way, they weren't coming to him. Pasuk says they weren't coming to him. They were just walking on a hot day. So now he has to go and run after them, and convince them and beg them to come in. What if Avraham Avinu on that day decided that he's going to take a break? I'm tired, I'm old, I had surgery. You know what? Let somebody else grab them. Let's imagine that's what happened. What would have been the results? Well, according to the story of the Torah, he wouldn't have refuah shlema, because the one who gave him refuah shlema is the one that he had to go after to bring him to his house. So if he didn't go after him, well, he's not coming. And the son that Hashem promised him, he wouldn't have, because he never went to help him. Could you imagine after 120, or Abraham after 175, 180, he goes to Shamayim and he says, Hashem, I don't understand. Didn't you promise me that I'm going to have a child? Hashem says, yes, I sent it to you. You sent it to me? You sent me a child? No, with me and Sarah. Yeah, I sent it to you. You didn't get him? He says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. They go, let's go to the videotape. In Shemayim, they have big screen. Big, nice. HD, top, big screen. And they go, let's go to the video. They say, Avraham, do you remember that day? Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a hot day. It's a very hard day. I mean, I wanted to go get them. But in the video, they show the people what they have on their head, what Yeshua they were bringing to Avraham Avinu. One of them had refuah shelema. One of them had Ben Yitzhak. So he sees the video, he's watching. He says, Avraham, I sent you your son. But you never picked him up. You know how sad that is? Is that a real thing, what I just said? That's what the story says. The reasons why those angels had to be guests is because when you need a Yeshua, when you need a salvation, you need to do something. Don't expect salvations. You need to do something. And what's the something? The Pasuk says in Tehillim that we say every morning, Kol orhot Adonai chesed ve'emet. Orhot means the way of Hashem. Meaning, when Hashem wants to give you something, what's the way that He gives it to you? He wants to give you the Yeshua. You're asking, I need refuah shlema. I need to get married. I need a child. I need... Kol orhot Hashem. Hashem will send you, but it's through a road called Chesed. It's an opportunity of kindness. And it is your choice if you want to receive the Yeshua. They would tell Avraham Avinu, that was your child, but you didn't help that person. It's an unbelievable principle in life. That when you see someone needs your help, before you say no. Now you should say yes, I should say yes, because it's the right thing. Not always is saying yes the right thing, by the way. Sometimes the answer is no. But if yes is the right thing, and you say no, you don't know what you're saying no to. You have no idea what that person or that opportunity represents. That could have been your Yeshua. Now, I hope that if you miss it once, maybe Hashem will give you another chance. I'm sure it's that way. You see, that's the way life works. And that's what the Hatam Sofer is telling you. You see, the biggest gift that Abraham and Sarah received in their life, the biggest gift, more than any other, is their son, Yitzhak. That was the biggest gift. That was Bakol, Ben, 52. But you see, in life, sometimes Hashem gives you something very precious. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's time, maybe it's strength, maybe it's money. And one day he's going to ask for it back. And you're going to have to decide how you're going to deal with that request. Hashem gave him this special boy. And then, at 37 years old, Hashem says to Abraham, I want him back. Give you back, my son? Could you imagine how we would feel? Give up my son, give up my precious child, my most important possession, my most important pride. And we might have said, no, I can't give that up. But Abraham gave up his Ben. And guess what happened? He got something even greater. He got Matan Torah. The greatest gift to humanity is the wisdom of the Creator. We didn't just get Matan Torah. Am Yisrael didn't just wait for Matan Torah to come. We have to make Matan Torah. How do you make Matan Torah? Isn't it something Hashem has to give us? Yes, but there's a principle. He's not just giving you Matan Torah, the greatest gift in the history of the world. You're not getting it for free. It's a world of free choice. You got to do something. Do what? One day, you're going to be asked to give up something that is precious to you. And if you're willing to give it up, you're going to get a shofar in return. So yeah, the small gematria is Ben. But says the Hatam Sofer, the big gematria is shofar. Because that's the way life goes. When you think you got the gift, it just might be the gift that Hashem wants you to give back so you get something greater. And unfortunately, when we get a gift, we think it's ours. And when Hashem says, give it back, we say no. And besides that, it's wrong, but it's the biggest loss to us. Kol orchot Hashem, chesed ve'emet. When opportunities come in life, your mother calls you, your grandma calls you, your friend calls you, the community needs you. You have money, you have brains, you have a house, you have a car, you have time, you have whatever you have. If you're needed and it's hard for you, before you say no, just think again. Think of what could be sitting on that person's head that you're not seeing. Think of what you would do for the yeshuot that you need in life, and that could be one. We see this story throughout. I'll give you another example. We're going to read about Yosef this week. We know that Yosef was in jail forever. And then he got out of jail and became one of the greatest people that ever lived. Nice story, beautiful. Wow, Yosef, awesome. What an opportunity. So lucky you made it there. But then you read the Torah, read it well, and you see it's not so lucky. You see, when he was in jail for 10 years, and two people came, Sara Mashkim and Sara Ofim, these very, very high-level ministers in Paro's kingdom, they came in, and they went to sleep, and they wake up in the morning, and Yosef sees they look like they're not so happy. I mean, it makes sense. They're in jail. And by the way, he's been in jail for 10 years. They've been in jail for one day. If anyone has to complain, it would be him. And the Pasuk says he saw their face looked not so good. Zo'afim. And the Pasuk says, Yosef went over to them and he says, Madua penechem ra'im hayom. What's wrong? Why does your face look so down? And then they told him the dreams. And then he interpreted the dreams. And 2 years later, he's interpreting Paro's dreams. Well, read the story of the Torah. What happens if Yosef notices somebody that looks sad and says, you know something? What am I going to do for him? Anyway, I need it more than him. Let him come to me. I should come to him. Imagine Yosef did what we might have done and said, you know what? It's not my business. Who are these people anyway? Doesn't matter. What would be if Yosef never asked them, Madua penechem ra'im ayom? If you read the Torah, very simple, no depth, simple. What happens if you never asked the question? If you never asked the question, they wouldn't have told him the dreams. If they didn't tell him the dreams, he wouldn't interpret the dreams. When Paro needed an interpreter, he would not have been called. That means Yosef would never have been Yosef. And Yosef would ask Hashem after 120, Borei Olam, I had dreams of Gadlut. You gave me dreams of greatness. What happened? I stuck to you. I was waiting. I was hoping. I was doing. What happened? And Hashem would say to Yosef, what do you mean? I sent it to you. You never got it? You sent me what? I sent you the Yeshua. You're supposed to be the king. You never made it? What are you talking about? And they go down to the HD again. I say, Yosef, do you remember that day in jail? I say, yeah, of course. Remember those two guys came in? You see how you looked at them and you saw they weren't looking so good? He says, yes. And they have a sign on top of them. It's called that Yosef would become the Melech of Mitzrayim. They were his ticket. Oh, you didn't ask them how they're feeling when you could have? Oh, sorry, that was it. That was Yeshua. This is life principles all the time. This is not a one-time story. This is our life. Don't make yourself crazy, but be careful not to miss opportunities. I bet some people are feeling really bad right now. I hear you. I don't blame you. But that's not the goal of the class. It's to make you home feeling that you should go home feeling bad. You should go home feeling rejuvenated, new. That never again, if I could and I should, am I going to say no? I'm not doing that. If I have the money, I'm going to help. If I have the time, I'm going to give it. Even if I'm a little tired, I'm going to do it. You see, by the way, the bigger the test, just notice, the bigger the test, for Matan Torah, it's not going to be if you got off your chair to give somebody a drink, you understand? That's a small item. For small items, you get small salvations. But one day you get hit with like this really hard, difficult ask. Someone's asking something very difficult. You should keep in mind that the difficult ones are the biggest salvations. For Matan Torah, you got to give up your son. That's a big one. To have a child at the age of 90 for your wife, you need to have a real, real crazy type of chesed. The bigger the salvation, the bigger the opportunity and the difficulty. Don't pass it up. You could be passing on your own Yeshua. Gemara, the Zohar says that one time, I believe I have the names right, but it could be the names are wrong. But the story is accurate. The Zohar says that one time, I think it was Rabbi Yosef, he was running to shul in the morning. You know how when you're running in shul to shul in the morning, you don't want to be bothered, you don't want no one to talk to you. He's running to shul in the morning, and the ani comes and says, "I don't have money for my family to eat. Could you give me a dollar?" And Rabbi Yosef stops. And sees he only has half a dollar. He says, "I'm sorry, it's all I have. Would you take it?" And he takes it. He stopped in the morning. That's a big deal. Women don't know what this is. But going to shul in the morning is a very serious matter. No one's allowed to talk to you. Also in Brazil, no? Nobody talked to me. Right now, I just woke up. I didn't want to get up. And I'm going to shul. I'm going to pray. I'm not in the mood. That's the attitude. And Rav Yosef stops and gives him the money. That night, says the Zohar, he had a dream. He had a dream, and he was standing by the water, and there were people pushing him in the water, and he doesn't know how to swim, so he's going to drown. And he's fighting with them, and he's fighting, and they're pushing, and they're fighting. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees his rabbi, his hand is stretched over the water to grab him and bring him to the other side. And he takes his hand and he's trying to reach his rabbi. And the Zohar says he tries and he tries and he tries and he tries, but he can't reach his rabbi's hand. And he falls in the water. and he's about to drown. And all of a sudden, there's a guy in a boat who happens to pass at that moment. And he says, come on, get on quickly. I'll take you to the rabbi. And he looks at the man. And he says, hey, I know you. Where do I know you from? He says, I'm the guy that you gave 50 cents to this morning in shul. He had the boat to save Rav Yosef's life. Kol orhot Hashem hesed ve'emet. The way of Hashem is through opportunities of hesed. It's also emet, by the way. What's emet? I'll give you an example of emet. And I'll conclude. Here's an example of emet. It's another avenue. Hashem has two roads to give you what you want and what you need and what He wants to give you. If Hashem doesn't want to give you, maybe you won't get it. That's a different story. But He can give it to you, but He has two roads. One is chesed. That was what we discussed till now. What do we got? Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. And one is emet. Let me give you an example of emet. Let's go back to Yosef. Yosef is 17 years old. He became a slave overnight. He's working by Potiphar. And comes this very hashuv woman that she wants to marry him. A very big nisayon for many reasons. And Yosef is fighting with his yetzerah. Yes, no, maybe this is my opportunity. I can get out of this avdut. I can become a free man. This is a very hashuv woman. Who knows all the different... We would say it's min hashamayim. How else am I getting out of it? How else am I getting out of this avdut? An eved is an eved forever. This must be the way. The only problem is, she's a married woman. So it's not the right thing to do. But it has to be the way. I mean, there's no other way. How else am I getting out of slavery? And Yosef does the impossible. And Yosef says, I cannot do something that's not emet. I'm not doing it. And guess what happens? The worst thing happens. He gets rewarded. No, he goes to jail. Instead of giving him, imagine what you would do, what I would do, after we took the biggest nisayon of life and we're expecting a red carpet. They take us and put us in jail. For 10 years. That's the reward of a person who's emet. But look at this story. It's only because Yosef went to jail. That was the road to becoming the great Yosef. If Yosef didn't go to jail, he wouldn't have met those people. If he didn't meet those people, he wouldn't have gotten to Paro. Kol orhot Hashem, chesed ve'emet. There are so many things that Hashem already gave us, but we can't just expect them to happen. We need to make it happen. We need to make marriage happen. We need to make children happen. And we need to make the Yeshuot happen. They're there, but you got to make it happen. Chesed ve'emet. I don't know about you, but since I learned this years ago, my life definitely has changed. I should be pure always, l'shem shamayim, and say I'm doing it because Hashem said that's the right thing. Somebody asked me for something. Someone says, "Oh, could you sit with me?" But it's 11:30 at night. That's the right. I would have done the right thing. I would say, "Of course, I'm going to sit with you if you need me." But sometimes I'm not so l'shem shamayim. Sometimes it's hard. And years ago, maybe I would say, "You know what? Let's leave it for a different day." But after this, I really think twice. Before I push off an opportunity of something that I'm able to do for another person. My beracha to every one of you is that you should live a life where you make things happen and you don't wait for things to happen. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Tov aharit davar. A good ending. Who doesn't want a good ending? Anything we do, we want a good ending. Tov aharit davar. Everything we do, we want a good ending. We get married to have tov aharit davar. We have a child, tov aharit davar. We're learning, tov aharit davar. Everything we do, we want a tov aharit davar. In yeshiva, in kolel, in business, in everything we do, we want tov aharit davar. That's why we do it. But most people, when they do something, they wait for the aharit davar to happen. They expect it to happen. They're waiting for it to happen. Says the great Shlomo HaMelech, it's not like that in Kohelet. Tov aharit davar mereshito. Reshito means the beginning, your investment, your action. Before even the aharit davar came, where are you? If you're waiting for it to happen, if there's no reshito, if there's no beginning on your end, don't expect tov aharit davar. Tov aharit davar, yes. Mereshito, step up. Get involved. Don't be a spectator to your own life. Don't be watching your life as it happens. Make your life happen. It's in our hands. So this is my beracha to all of you. That all of us should see the opportunities and have the strength to take advantage of them and live a life full of bakol. The bakol of the small gematria and the bakol of the big gematria. Both of them are beautiful to have. And both of them are things that we look forward to. Hatzlaha bekol ha'anyanim. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening. Hashem should be with you and your children and your families always. Amen ve'amen.